Peter Parker was an ordinary guy, actually a teenager, when he got bitten by a radioactive spider. And you know the story. He became Spider-Man. And he suddenly discovered that he had these amazing powers, which he ultimately decided to use to fight evil and to do good. In the movie Spider-Man, there was a when Peter realized he had this power to make a difference, he makes a thought-provoking statement. He said these words: "For me, the choice to live an ordinary life is no longer an option. For me, the choice to live an ordinary life is no longer an option." Commenting on that, Ron Hutchcraft, in his book, The Life That Matters, Living a Life That Matters, says, "For me and for more and more people I'm meeting, an ordinary life is becoming something we don't want to settle for. We are realizing that the routines and rhythms of what we do every day are too ordinary to fulfill our lifelong hunger for purpose and meaning. We know there's more, where we're not sure what it is. I wrote this book," he says, "for people who want to leave a legacy, who want the one life that they have to really count, who sense this drive inside that says, I want to make a far greater difference with the rest of my life than I've made up until this point." Does that resonate with anybody here? You know, I think we all want to live a life that matters, that counts for time and eternity. I think we can all, if you're a Christian, hopefully you haven't been bitten by any radioactive spiders, but you have received Christ. You have received the gift of the Holy Spirit who resides in you. And you have a power within you to make a difference in life, a difference for good. And I think we should all, kind of like Peter Parker, have that sense. For me, the choice to just live an ordinary life is no longer an option. I want my life to count for time and eternity. Do you? Amen. Amen. And so we're talking this month, and that's where this series, Answering God's Call for Your Life, comes in. Now, we've already defined, but I know there's some new visitors here with us today, some new fine people here that have not been with us. We defined already, when we talk about God's call for our life, not talking about his call for salvation. Jimmy told us how he got saved up on the rooftop of Pizza. Can you get saved on the rooftop of Pizza Hut? Amen. You know, if you are saved, God called you. Scripture says that. All that he predestinated, he called, it says. And God called you, and you echoed back that call and received Christ. You've been called unto salvation. But we're not primarily talking about God's call on salvation. And we're not talking about God's call for sanctification. Because if you are a Christian, you're called to sanctification. It says in Scripture, all those that he saved, he also called with a holy calling. We are called to live differently. In fact, can that make an impact? Can people working at Pizza Hut, living honestly, working hard, living differently than the way the world lives, can that make an impact? Oh my, it sure can. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be holy, not crazy, but we're called to be different than the world. We're called to be like Christ in holiness. But we're not talking primarily about our call to sanctification. When we're talking about the call, you remember we're talking about God's call on our lives to service. God's call to service. When he saved us, didn't save us to sit. He saved us to serve him, to serve the Lord. He wants us, he's called us to employ the gifts and the talents that he has given us in service of the Lord. And so I ask again, have you answered God's call for your life? Have you answered God's call? Do you know where he wants you to serve? And are you serving him? Have you responded? You remember, we, praise God, that's an amen in baby talk, amen, praise God. And I enjoy that amen. Thank you. Do you remember Isaiah? Isaiah, in the year King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord in a vision. And he heard the Lord speaking, the Trinity speaking, and they were saying, whom shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah, you remember what was his response? Here am I. Send me, Lord. Send me. And he responded to that call. And then we took a look last week at Moses and Moses's call. You remember he met the Lord at the burning bush, and God said, I've got a great plan. I'm gonna come down and I'm gonna deliver the people from Egypt. And Moses says, yeah, great God. And he said, yeah, and I'm gonna use you, Moses. And he said, Lord, who am I? You remember what God basically said? You're not much, Moses, but I am who I am. And I'll be with you. You go. But Lord, I can't speak very well. I flunked public speaking in school down in Egypt. That's in the margins. And I'm not a good speaker, Lord. Who made your mouth, Moses? Who made your mouth? Yeah, but Lord, other people can do it better. Lord, here am I. Send Aaron. That's what he said. And God said, listen, Moses, I chose you. And I now therefore go. And I'll be with your mouth. I'll teach you what to say. And thank God, Moses did go. And in the power of God, he was used to deliver the people out of Egypt. To go to the most powerful man in the world and say, let my people go. And he did. Came the greatest leader in the Old Testament. He kind of reluctantly, but he finally, he answered God's call in his life. And folks, people, every one of us has a call. It might not be to lead 2 million people. It may not be to go preach to a nation. But you know, you throw a little pebble into a lake and it ripples out. Doesn't have to be some great, big, gigantic ministry, but there's something God's calling you and me to. And you know what that does? When we answer that call, it leads to a life of significance. We fulfill the purpose for which we have been created. And we see that this morning in God's call to some ordinary people, the disciples of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 4. And I want to read verses 18 through 22. And here we have the call of several of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Matthew 4 and verses 18 through 22. It says, "Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him." Lord, as we look at this passage today, again, I am praying, Lord, and many are praying that this month, that many here in our church, maybe for the first time, would hear your call. Maybe they need a renewed call, Lord. Some may need a renewed call or encouragement in the call in which you've called them. Maybe you're going to give some fresh calls, Lord. Change some directions because, Lord, sometimes you do that. We minister in one place and then you say, I want you to over here. God, would you please speak to our hearts? Let us hear your call on our lives. Because, Lord, to us here today, we don't have the option, Lord. We don't feel the option to live an ordinary life. We want to live a life that's dedicated to you. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. On your outlines, number one, let's look at the author of the call. The author of the call. Now, as Jesus, verse 18, was walking by the Sea of Galilee, the author of the call is Jesus Christ. He's walking by the sea and he sees two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And he said to them, down in verse 21, saw two other brothers, James and John, and he called them. Jesus is the author of the call. And I thought this was interesting. He found them. You know, in salvation, the Lord finds us. Isn't that true? You know, somebody says, "Hey, when did you find the Lord?" "Well, I didn't find him. He was never lost. He found me. I was lost. And Jesus found me back in 1970. And it wasn't up on Pizza Hut roof that he found me. It was in a church. Can you believe that? But he found me. But you know, it's interesting. Even in the call here, in answering the call, Jesus goes out and finds these men. He was the one. And he initiated this. And it began again with an encounter with God. A fresh encounter with God. Now, this wasn't the first encounter with Jesus. We realize that. For Peter and Andrew, remember over in the Gospel of John, Jesus was down at the Jordan River. He came to the Jordan River and John the Baptist was there. And Andrew, first of all, met Jesus. Then he went and got Peter and introduced Peter to Jesus. So this isn't the first time that they had come encounter with Jesus. But this is a fresh encounter. Christ came to them and he called them. He called them. He would later say to all the 12 disciples, "You didn't choose me. I chose you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit and that your fruit might remain." It begins, listen, you know what we need, all of us? At least I feel this need. We need a fresh encounter with God. It may not be a vision like Isaiah had. It may not be a burning bush. I've never seen a burning bush not consumed. But we need a fresh encounter with God. And let me tell you, today I want to emphasize this. Generally, where you find a fresh encounter is in this book. You meet the Lord in this book. We don't just read the Bible and check off, I've read my two chapters or three chapters today. You go to the book to meet the Lord. He's the living word revealed in the written word. And I'll tell you, when you get into the book and you're seeking Christ, you have that fresh encounter. I'll tell you what, you may hear the call of God. I want you. They had a fresh encounter with God. The author of the call was Jesus. Now, the situation of the call, it's interesting. Peter and Andrew were what? They were casting nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Where's Tank? Is Tank here today, someplace? Back in the back. They were fishermen, Tank. I know, he does. He's a fisherman. Ernie, they were fishermen. You know? They're out fishing. Imagine that. Out casting nets. And then James and John, they're in the boat mending nets. And I saw again, they were there. They were doing their daily job, right? They were selling pizzas. No, they were doing their daily job. But they were busy. Again, I'm going to tell you this. I believe this. God calls busy people. Busy people. He doesn't call people that want to sit around and do nothing. He calls busy people. They were working at their jobs. Moses, what was he doing when God called him? Shepherding. Let me ask you something. What was David doing when shepherding? What was Elisha doing? Yeah, he's plowing. He was out in the field plowing. Let's see, who else could I go into? Oh, people, when God called them, mainly he called busy people. My wife and I, we were, and this is a miracle, we were married 43 years, we're over 43 years now, and I'm still 39. It's a miracle. But we have had this thing ever since we got married. I don't know if anybody can relate to this. We've been busy. We have been extremely busy. And we have this little saying, next week it's going to get better. We have been saying that for 43 years. And it hasn't. It's something. And we keep on saying, you know, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and might have it abundantly. And man, this is abundant, Lord. But you know what? God calls busy people. People that are at work. Listen for God's call as you work. I don't care where you work, what you do. If you're busy. God called them. Don't sit around waiting for God to drop in and issue a call in your life. Get busy. And if you say, I don't know where he wants me to serve, get busy. Just step out. Do you need any workers down at True North, Jim?
Yes.
You could use some mentors. You could use some workers. Somebody just shared with me that they're working down at Urban Vision. Urban Vision needs workers. COM, do you need any helpers over there at Kent State, Bob? Yes, need workers over there. We need workers here in the church. If you're not busy, get busy! And you say, well, maybe I'm getting into the wrong ministry. Well, then God will show you, right? It's hard to steer a parked car. Get busy, and then God will show you where he wants you. The situation they were working. Now, this is good. The recipients of the call. Who were these guys that Jesus called? Well, they were normal, ordinary, common people. They were fishermen. They weren't the rich and famous. They weren't really educated, at least highly educated. They weren't trained Bible students. Paul Carter, they did not go to Moody Bible Institute. I know. And Mike, they didn't go to Grace Theological Seminary. They didn't. They didn't even go to the best seminary, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. I thought you'd say amen, Mike. Come on. They were not trained. They were ordinary people. And they were, you know what? They were fallen people. They were fallen. There's another incident. It's recorded over in Luke 5. You don't have to turn there. But there was a time when Jesus came down and he wanted to preach on the Sea of Galilee. And Peter's boat was there. So he got in the boat and they went out a little bit and he spoke to the people. And then he said to Peter, Peter, launch out into the deep and we're going to catch some fish. Remember what Peter said? Lord, we've fished all night. You know the best fishing is when, Tank? Nighttime. Nighttime is the right time for fishing. We fished all night and we didn't catch anything. But Lord, if you say so, okay. So they go out. They put down the nets. They get so many fish. Now, this is great. They put them in the two boats and the boats start to sink. They could lose some fish there. But then Peter, you know what that was? That was a fresh encounter with God. And he started to begin to realize who this Jesus was. And what did he say? Do you remember? Depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. What did Isaiah say? Woe is me! I'm a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. What did Moses do? He fell to the ground and hid his face from the holiness of God. I tell you, it's nothing like a fresh encounter with God to show us who we are. But they were, you know what? These guys, this is so encouraging. These guys were normal, common, ordinary folk, sinful, fallen men like us. I like what J. Vernon McGee has to say about this. He says, the wonder of it all is that he called men like this. And it makes me feel that he may be able to use me. And he may be able to use you. How wonderful it is to know that he doesn't call perfect men. He's not looking for perfect people. Because if he was, he wouldn't find any. He's looking for people like you. And like me. And I hear someone say, he could never use me. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. He could never use me. He used Moses. He was a murderer. He used David. He was a murderer and an adulterer. He used the Apostle Paul. He killed Christians, for heaven's sake. There is no one that God can't use who hears and heeds the call. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that you can use people like us. But then we look at the challenge of the call. Verse 19, look at verse 19, the challenge of the call. He said to them, follow me. Follow me. Two words in the English, three words in the Greek. In the Greek, come after me. But boy, those words are fraught with meaning. Follow me. What does that mean? Does that mean just follow me around and just kind of follow me? It means so much more. Follow me. This is talking about committing our life to the Lord, to serving the Lord, to the higher purpose of serving and glorifying God, total commitment to follow Christ, to serve Christ, to spend time with Christ, to learn from Him, to serve Him. When we commit our life to Jesus like this, we are committing to Him to go wherever He wants us to go. Kind of like the song. You remember the hymn? Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, all the way. That's what it means. Do you have that heart in you? This is a challenge. Challenge. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. It's committing your life to Christ. You see, they woke up that morning and their life job was to fish. And after Jesus summons them, their life job was to follow. We have people in our congregation, like Jim, working a job. I want you to go to jail. I want you to serve the Lord in jail. Help these kids. I've molded your life. And he does, listen, Jim, you're not unique. He molds our lives. And we're going to see this next week, Lord willing. If He tarries and gives me grace, so when we look at Jeremiah's call, we're going to see how He molded that life to fulfill a purpose that I think, and again, maybe this is just me, I think there are a purpose for you and for me that no one else can fulfill. We've been created for that. And God calls us to that. There's been others that left their job. I think of Mark and Kathy Horner. Mark had a great job for Stowe, City of Stowe, left. I think of our missionaries, George and Val Schultz. He was the building inspector, I believe, for Stowe. Left and went to Cameroon. Wow. Now again, it's not always we have to leave our jobs. And that doesn't mean because God needs people to work at Pizza Hut. God needs engineers. God needs doctors. God needs policemen. God needs factory workers. God needs people to be all over the place. But when it says, follow me, it means my life is committed, whatever He wants. Where you lead me, I will follow. What you command me, I will do. Follow me. You know, that's a challenge. That's a big challenge. You mean it could mean I have to leave my job? Sure. It could. There's a cost. Now, I don't want anybody this month to say, I'll do this, and not know. There is a cost. I think of, there's several, in Luke 9, a person came to Jesus and said these words, I will follow you wherever you go. Do you know what, you know, if somebody came to me and said that, I'd probably fall over. You know, drooling as I did. You know what Jesus said to him? Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. You sure you want to follow me? There's a cost. Jesus was homeless. You sure you want to follow? Then He went up to another guy and He said, follow me. And he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Remember what Jesus said? Let the dead bury the dead. You come, follow me, and preach the kingdom. There's a cost. Then He went up to another guy and said, follow me. And he said, okay, I'll follow you. Just let me go home and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, listen, no one puts his hand to the plow and turning back is worthy of the kingdom of God. You come, follow me. Man, there is a cost to following Jesus. There's a cost. In fact, here's the cost. You want to hear the cost? If anyone would come after me, that's the three words. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Make up your mind. Give up yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Man, that's a challenge. Man, that goes against my flesh. That goes against, you mean it's not about me? No, you got to die. Come and follow me. Someone might say, well, I'm not sure I want to do that. I'm not, really, is it worth it? Look at the next point, the significance of the call. Verse 19 again. He says, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Fishers of men. And let me just say something. Here, there is nothing wrong with being a fisherman. That is a good, respectable, honorable occupation. There's nothing wrong with it, nothing dishonorable about being a fisherman. But Christ's call was to a higher significance. You guys fish for fish. I am going to make you fish for souls. Guys, people need the Lord. Amen, Filipino choir. Amen. People need the Lord. I need some fishermen that will go out and fish for souls. Nothing wrong with being a fisherman. But follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You talk about significance. That is significance. That is purpose. That is meaning. You see, our job is to follow. Jesus' job is to make us fishers of men. And I believe all Christians are called to this higher calling. Not everybody is called to full-time Christian ministry, to go into full-time Christian vocational ministry. But all Christians are called, wherever you are, to be fishing for souls. God needs engineers. God needs policemen. God needs firemen. God needs factory workers. God needs secretaries. God needs homemakers. God needs all these different things, people. But we've got a higher calling. That while we are there, we're God's ambassadors, fishing for souls. Again, in his book, The Life That Matters, Ron Hutchcraft talks about a lady was in a church one day. She visited a larger church, and as she was going out the doors, the pastor came over to her and said, I don't think I know you. What's your name? And she said, my name is Hazel. My name is Hazel. And then the pastor said, what do you do? And she said, I am a disciple of Christ, cleverly disguised as a machine operator. Wow! That is neat! See, that's significant. It's not, I just go and I do this press thing all day long. That's all I do. I come home and that's go. No. I'm a disciple of Christ, a follower of Jesus, cleverly disguised as that machine operator. as that factory worker, as that supervisor, as that police officer, as that school teacher. You see? You say, is it worth it? Man, I want to live a life that counts. And when we follow God's call, follow me. I'll tell you what, it may be hard, but it will never be dull. Amen. It'll never be dull. Well, I've got to really quickly here. The acceptance of the call, verses 20 and 22. This is interesting. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. There was an immediate leaving and following. They accepted his call. Their lives were never the same. They said like Isaiah, "Here am I, Lord, send me. I'll go. Andrew and Peter, James and John heard the call, followed Jesus. And again, their lives were never the same. They never had a dull day. I'll bet you they kept on saying, next week it's going to get better. We're going to get some R&R over here someday. Because they were busy serving the Lord. Every day was a new adventure with Jesus. They said with their actions in leaving, you know what, God? We're all in. I like that. I just like that concept. All in. Not half in. We're all in. We bought into this, Lord. We believe you. The only thing that's important in this life is serving you and glorifying you and honoring you. And that's what we're here for. That's what we've been created for. We're all in. And I'm going to tell you, their lives were never the same. They answered the call. All these guys, I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. It was tough. All these guys went through persecution. Eventually, every one of them except John, well, not Judas, but the 11, were killed for their faith. Was not easy. Answering God's call can be very, very difficult. Is it worth it? And this is the last point. The rewards of the call. Take Matthew, turn over to Matthew 19 real quickly. I just want to read a couple of verses. Matthew 19 and verses 27 through 29, and we're finished here. Matthew 19, verses 27 through 29. The rewards of the call, or answering the call. Then Peter said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" Don't you love Peter? "Look at all we gave up, Lord. All these stinking fishing nets and all this. We gave up everything, Lord. What's in it for us?" I love Peter. He's so real. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man, will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life." It says, listen, whatever you give up, you're going to receive, in fact, Mark says 100 times more as much in this present age. Is there a cost? Yeah. Are there blessings? I'm going to tell you what, the blessings of the Lord, and now we're not talking health and wealth gospel here. We're talking about the blessings of the Lord. We're talking about the nearness of God and God's blessings in our lives. 100 times more. And in the age to come, eternal life. I'll tell you what. It's not easy to heed the call, follow me. But it's rewarding. And I'll tell you, every day is a new adventure with Jesus Christ. There's no dull moments. It leads to a life of significance, a life that will count for time and eternity. And again, Maybe you're like Peter Parker. Maybe you're at the point where you say, for me, I'll tell you what, to live an ordinary life, it's not an option. I'm going to live my life for Jesus Christ. Lord, today, here am I. Here am I. Send me, Lord. What, Lord? Follow me? Lord, I'll follow you. Lord, we just come to you today and thank you that we're not called as Christians just to get up in the morning and go to some job and work it and so we can get stuff, accumulate stuff, and then one day die. We have a higher calling. And Lord, I pray today as we sing this last song, speak to our hearts, Lord, every one of us. There's no one here that, if they're saved, that you cannot use somewhere in the kingdom. And you're calling. And I pray that you would put it on our hearts. Just, and it may not be like Jimmy's call, but put that burden there. Put that burden, put that desire to live that life for Christ, that desire. Lord, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Wherever you lead me, I will follow. Speak to our hearts, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.